Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 8th of July. This is the Viewpoint Talk Radio's current affairs program with a panel of guests where we discuss the issues of the day with you for the next 2 hours. If you have something that you wish to get across with your viewpoint, it could be local, national, international. Here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Joined in the studio by Tim Stafford. Morning to you, Timothy.
Oh, Giles.
Indeed. And Dr. Jerry Hagan. Morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Giles. Good morning, Tim. Nice to see you all again.
Yes, indeed. Here we are. And the summer months are coming in and we're just sort of kicking back and enjoying ourselves. This is the Tim and Jerry show, as always. 952-78-4000. I was going to go through the papers, but let's kick off with this one because it's breaking news. Former Tory grandee, it says here, Norman Tebbit, dies at the age of 94. Kay Bevanox says he's an icon in British politics, and his death will cause sadness across the political spectrum. If you were around in the 80s, you will, of course, remember Norman Tebbit, if not for the spitting image puppet even. The Chingford skinhead, he was very much the enforcer for Margaret Thatcher's government. Wouldn't you think that, Jerry?
Yeah. He's the man who told you on your bike, Charles.
Yes, indeed. The famous thing.
Get a proper job.
Yeah, he said, you know, when my father didn't have a job, he didn't sit around, he got on his bike and he looked to his... He got on his bike and he rode until he found work. That was during the Conservative Party conference. You could hear the pearls and the blue rinses jingling happily with support of that. Tim, your thoughts on Tebbit? Did you actually come across him in the rarefied circles in which he used to move?
I did not.
Did you?
No, I didn't. The nearest he would have been to me was at the time of the IRA strike in the Grand Hotel in Brighton.
Yeah.
And, no, Norman Tebbit. Well, he wouldn't have thought him to be a Conservative in the first place, but he didn't seem like quite as if he'd be... But he definitely was an enforcer.
Yeah.
And at that time, when Margaret Thatcher was applying her form of leadership, there were some very well attributed politicians, people who you knew and quite frequently either despised or respected, but he was certainly a part of the cabinet that more or less held together until Geoffrey Howe at the very end just did
savaged by a dead sheep and
yes,
all that.
Yes, oh yes.
Michael Heseltine.
Yeah.
Oh, Tarzan.
Tarzan. Michael,
yeah, we had Tarzan Heseltine, who was, you know, he had to buy all of his own furniture. He made a self-made man, fair enough. Nearly became leader, but a very subtle series of actions brought us John Major.
Yeah, the thing is, the thing with Tebbit, though, he was very much the sort of the embodiment of the Thatcherite Conservative rather than Whitelaw, perhaps, or Lord Carrington, for example.
It was a change in atmosphere in the Tory party when you had people who were coming in and leading who were not from Oxbridge or private schools, etc. Margaret Thatcher, Norman Tebbit, Michael Hestein, etc., yeah. etc. So, whereas in the past, there's definitely a class divide amongst Tories and Labour people. You know, they came from different backgrounds, etc. But now, Norman Tebbit, as Tim said, well, he could have been a Labour MP, you know,
except for
his background.
Yeah, interesting
ex-union guy. Yeah.
Interesting views on immigration, though, as well, to put it mildly. But the famous cricket test, wasn't it? That was the one he said, where something along the lines of, you know, we have to ask who these people would support when cricket is playing.
Yeah, if you were an immigrant and you were supporting India or Pakistan instead of England, you weren't proper British, which made our eyebrows go up in Scotland because we don't actually support England.
No, we support everybody who's not England, don't we, basically? That's the thing. I support Scotland than anybody who's playing England.
Yeah. Oh, we know about that.
Mother's from Coatbridge, remember? So, indeed. 952 784. But the passing, again, that sort of generation. I think there's very few of the original. I mean, there is only Heseltine, I think, left out of that lot. He's still around and about. I'm just trying to think.
I was here on TV recently being interviewed.
Yeah, 952 784 000 is the phone number. Good morning to Richard, who's already getting involved. Thatcher went to Somerville. Okay, thank you very much. So let's look at the front pages of the papers today. A bit of French bashing this morning. President Emmanuel Macron's three-day state visit to the UK features on several front pages, including The Times, which says that Sir Keir Starmer will urge the French leader to agree a one-in, one-out migrant returns deal. That's going to be an awfully big clicker. The arrangement would allow Britain to return migrants who cross the Channel in small boats to France in exchange for acceptance. Asylum seekers who have family connections in the UK. The Daily Mail accuses the French police of doing nothing to stop small boat crossings and calls on Macron to hand back £771 million of British taxpayers' money given to France to address the issue. He's probably got in small change. The Daily Telegraph focuses on the speech of the King, Charles III, at tonight's state banquet, where he will stress the vital partnership between the UK and France. The paper's leader column argues that a cast-iron agreement to return small boat arrivals to France is the only way to halt the daily influx of illegal immigrants, and urges Macron to realise that a workable deal is overwhelmingly in the interests of both countries. Daily Express says Macron's visit offers time to nail the problem. It calls on Sir Keir to get tough with the French. Perhaps we should retake Aquitaine, for example. The Sun reports that a leaked memo has revealed the FBI has closed its investigation into associates of convicted paedophile Jeffrey Epstein. With the headline, Air Miles Andy cleared for takeoff, it says Prince Andrew can now end his self-imposed travel ban as he will feel it's safe to leave the UK. Duke of York has always denied all the accusations against him. With regards to his links to Epstein, Daily Mail Mirror says the FBI's decision to end its inquiry has deepened the agonies for victims of late financier. The Times highlights how airports have quietly begun lifting the 100-milliliter restriction on liquids in hand luggage. It says the move is a risk and confusion over the peak summer holiday period, as passengers in Birmingham and Edinburgh can now take 2 litres in cabin bags. But elsewhere, the rules remain strict. The Department for Transport says holidaymakers should check the website of their airport before packing any hand luggage. So, from the top this morning, top of your paper pile, The Times, risk of holiday travel chaos as airports lift liquid restrictions, and also PM set to press Macron on one-in, one-out deal. The Daily Telegraph, no borders between us, King to tell Macron. The Daily Mail, hand back our £770 million, Mr. Macron, si vous plaît. The Sun, Air Miles Andy cleared for takeoff, free to fly as FBI ends probe into pedo tycoon links. The Mirror, victim's fury as Epstein probe shut down. Prince Andrew no longer under investigation after FBI review. The Guardian, mushroom murders. Erin Patterson found guilty of killing relatives with deadly meal, but also bosses face ban on non-disclosure deals that silence victims of abuse. They'll express hypocrisy of Labour's homes plan. This is the ministers pushing to build 1.5 million new homes despite previously opposing developments in their own constituencies. Angela Rayner comes in for particular criticism on that one. The Financial Times, they've got a photograph of the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, and Sir Keir Starmer placing flowers on the 20th anniversary yesterday, of course, of the terror attacks on London on July the 7th. The IE newspaper, 50,000 children will be lifted out of poverty due to rebellion on welfare reforms. The Metro, mushroom murderer targeted me four times. And finally, the Daily Star, going completely left field as always, says that scientists have invented a wearable drunk patch, which triggers a phone's alert to tell you if you're at risk of dehydration and a future hangover. So a new drunk patch will tell you when to stop the hangover cured. And those for better or worse, or pass me the extra strong liquid Nurofen, are your headlines on this Tuesday, the 8th of July. Giles Brown, live from the studios of TRE Talk Radio. Your voice in Spain, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at TRE.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 9967 95 if you want to get your viewpoint over to us.
TRE
Talk Radio Europe.
Spain sounds like this. And its insurance sounds like this. Switch to Línea Directa and enjoy all our protection and experience with the best prices and coverage in car, home, motorbike, pet and squatter protection. Backed by 30 years of insuring what matters most. Discover why 9 out of 10 customers recommend us. Call Línea Directa today on 919 181 130.
Are you thinking about financing your business? Are you considering expanding your real estate projects? Dexter Global Finance. Don't wait any longer. No need to look any further. Dexter are leaders in private capital, developer loans, equity release, asset and land purchase loans. Loans from 1 million euros. We are Dexter. Work with the number one. Find us online at grupodexter.com now.
And lobsters off the grid like a rocket. Ultra-fast fibre from just €23.99 a month.
Free home install and Wi-Fi router. That's pole position value.
Bundle a mobile plan and save big. Just €7.99 for unlimited calls and texts in Spain and the UK. Plus 100 gigs.
And roaming in the UK is included too.
Unbelievable. That's a champion deal.
Lobster, mobile and fibre. Unbeatable. Call free now on 1661 or visit lobster.es.
Hola Marbella, are you looking for high quality printing, design and custom signage?
At Roxy Print, we bring your ideas to life. From business cards and flyers to eye-catching signs and personalised merchandise, we do it all.
Real estate agents, business owners, event planners, whatever your project, we've got the expertise and creativity to make you stand out.
Visit us at our office in Marbella or contact us directly via email info@roxyprint.es or WhatsApp on 694-226156 to get started on your project today.
Roxy Print, where creativity meets ink.
Roxy Print, quality, creativity and reliability.
Need new kitchenware? China Home in Cancelada. Refurbishing your living room? China Home. Craft supplies for the kids? China Home. Garden furniture? China Home. Lost your phone charger? China Home. Need new outfit? China Home. These are just some of the many reasons that people rely on China Home. 3,000 square meters of products we need every day and a 10% discount off your next purchase every time you shop at China Home Cancelada. China Home. A7, kilometre 155, Calle Seneca number 2, urbanisation Costalita, Cancelada.
Talk Radio Europe. Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
Live from the studios of TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain, if you can, if you're able to... if you're able to get us, or you're having some problems getting us, remember you can't. Well, I was going to say, if you can't hear us, try us on the app. But if you can't hear us, then you can't hear us. Full stop.
And you won't get this information.
You won't get this information.
it's that's why mime always works very well on the radio, that sort of thing. I guess you can see now. Tim, what were we going to talk? We were going to talk. Excuse me. Good morning to Richard.
I really don't know where you're going quite. But
you really don't know what? Sorry.
Where are we going?
We're going to the peace. We're going to Nobel Peace Prizes. Have you ever been offered the Nobel Peace Prize, Tim?
No, but you know, I haven't ever lived in a peaceful situation. It's always been. I've been through two marriages, for example, and so. But peace never. I mean, I did try, of course, but. No, random solutions, and Trump has seemed to have employed bombing, etc., or removing of the possibility of nuclear arms being created, a greater affiliation with the Israeli position. I mean, is that, does he qualify for a peace prize? I'm not absolutely sure that he does. I don't feel the sort of spiritual impetus of, or necessarily the gaining of positions from which people can properly negotiate. So I don't think it's. I mean, it's, obviously this is coming from Netanyahu, but difficult to say. Ceasefires, yes, difficult to achieve. I would say, on balance, no. He does not qualify for.
I mean, is this, I mean, do we really give a flying proverbial about this? I mean,
do flying proverbials. No, I don't think we do.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, the Nobel Peace Prize has been, yeah, yippee, it's been given out sort of randomly to a bunch of, you know, it's like that. I can understand the Nobel Prize for Science, for example, something
yes,
like that.
Yeah.
You know. But not, you know, not that, and there's a brilliant film with Jonathan Pryce in it about the Nobel Prize, so I can't remember the name. Anyway, but for, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize, I mean, it's been given some you know, there's a technical quote, some real rum-ins recently. So, I mean, yeah. You know, the thought, if you gave Trump for pontificating and you know, bombing Iran or whatever, it's going to drag the Peace Prize. I mean, I'm just going to have a look at the recent winners of the Peace Prize, but it's not exactly, it doesn't really, I mean, presumably Obama got one, so he just wants to, because he wants to get one, you know, because Obama got one, or it'll top him off, a man of honour or something, a man of action.
Oh, well, I wasn't even sure how Obama got one, never mind Trump. But if you're going to win a Nobel Prize for something, you should have achieved something, or at least tried to achieve something. And I don't quite know what Trump has achieved in terms of peace. There's still a war going on in Ukraine, Gaza, Middle East is no better than ever. So in fact, it's probably worse than when it was under Joe Biden.
Looking at the winners then, and let's see of these who we oh yes, I remember this one. I'm going to go back to 2010. So Nobel Peace Prize, Nihon Hidangyo for efforts to achieve a world free of nuclear weapons and for demonstrating through witness testimony that nuclear weapons must never be used again. Before that, 2023, Najaz Mohammadi for her fight against the oppression of women in Iran and her fight to promote human rights and freedom for all. Then it was Maria Ressa and Dmitry Muratov for freedom of expression. The World Food Programme won it in 2020. If efforts occurred to combat hunger, just looking at other bits and pieces, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons won it. Juan Manuel Santos for bringing the country's 50-year civil war, he was from Colombia, of course, to an end. And then there was, of course, the one that I always use on my CV, because I think it looks absolutely brilliant, because in, where are we? In 2012, the European Union won it. So, you know, anybody who's a member of the European Union, therefore, can say that they've won the Nobel Peace Prize. So I thought that was those look good on my CV.
Yes,
we'll go,
yes.
We
get to share it then.
Hey, we get to share it, yeah, because, you know, for 6 decades contributing to the advancement of peace and reconciliation, democracy and human rights in Europe.
So I thought
that looked quite good on my CV.
So you've got 1/600,000,000th of a...
Yes, indeed, of a prize, exactly, which is a downside one Donald Trump's got at the moment, but there you go. But if you look at that list of, if you look at the, you know, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, stopping the civil war in Colombia, etc., the World Food Programme, etc., there doesn't seem to be
they don't seem to be any political figures per se in there that you think, you know, there's not a leader in there that you think, okay, fine, well, we might give it to this lord or that leader or something. Tim?
Yeah, that is very difficult to be in any person's list of those suitable for a Nobel Peace Prize. It's a bit, I mean, certainly not politicians. I mean, it's a bit like, you know, proving you're sane, you know. They would find that very difficult. And so, too, that they are, you know, actively involved in the creation of peace. So they get down to the particularities, like, you know, the World Food Programme and so on. A venerable organisation. I've thought about it a little bit further, having given it no consideration before this show, and I now think that Trump is not a candidate at all.
In fact,
the aircraft carriers that are on their way as we speak down to Taiwan might prove a little bit of extra interference, which is not really peacemaking.
Peacemongering, that's all we need, isn't it?
Peacemongering.
He brokered the peace of the 12-day war between Iran and Israel. Well, I mean, for those of us who remember proper full-out wars between Israel and the rest of the Arab, you know, the Arab world, it certainly wasn't a bit of light. I mean, I'm not casting aspersions on the whole thing, but it wasn't a bit of light. But you know, it wasn't a bit of light bombing before that. That was, you know, the Golan Heights, the West Bank, etc. were all taken, etc. You know, by
Israel.
Israel, yeah. But what I'm saying is that those were full-on conflicts. This was not, awful though it may have been. It certainly wasn't a full-on conflict.
Iran's response was more of a gesture than a war.
Yeah, indeed.
And they warned Qatar in advance.
Yeah, we're going to come over and
yes. Yeah.
So that is the, if you want to get yourself, if you want to get a comment on that, just a thanks very much to those out there listening on the internet who have said that the Jonathan Pryce film was The Wife with Glenn Close. Brilliant. Yes, if you get the chance to watch that film, do, because it's absolute genius. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Away from Iran, of course, fighting has continued in Gaza and Ukraine. Trump famously boasted before his second stint in the White House that he could end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. The reality has been somewhat different, with Ukraine saying last week that Russia unleashed the heaviest aerial attack on the war so far. Critics have said that Putin is playing his US counterpart. There's no intention of agreeing a ceasefire. Meanwhile, Trump could try and take credit for progress in Gaza if an agreement on a 60-day ceasefire is done this week. Indirect negotiations with Hamas are taking place that could lead to the release of some of the remaining 50 hostages, Israeli hostages, and a surge in aid to Gaza. The White House said middle-aged envoy Steve Witkoff is travelling to Qatar this week to try and seal the agreement. Hamas said they've got no control over Gaza at the moment. I don't think many people have, to be honest with you. So, you know, it's still, you know, it's still, that situation is still sort of dragging horrendously on. Jerry?
Well, it's further down the line that bothers me. I mean, you can have a six-week ceasefire, but Netanyahu and certain parts of his coalition do not want to see an end to the war. So I'm not sure the hard right don't want they want the war to continue. And Netanyahu, if the war stops, is going to be back in court on criminal charges. So why would he want to go to jail? I don't really see how this plays out in the end.
I mean, Netanyahu said that Hamas must surrender, disarm, and leave Gaza. Hamas says it won't do. Netanyahu also told reporters on Monday that the US and Israel were working with other countries who give Palestinians a better future, and indicated those in Gaza could move elsewhere. So this is this whole controversial policy that they seem to be indicating that they want to remove Palestinians from Gaza as well, which again would make it very difficult, one thinks, for President Trump to receive a Nobel Peace Prize, even if he gets a nomination from Netanyahu. Tim, you're nodding sagely.
Yes, I mean, I remember quite a few months ago now that on this particular show, I think there's a chap, perhaps he was called Michael, I might be wrong, who was an advisor or of a think tank, Israeli think tank. And I asked him the question, what would be the fundamental objectives of an Israeli government in this city? And he said, well, the destruction of Hamas and the return of all hostages. It was as simple as that. And neither of those things have actually been achieved. I mean, it's okay, the sort of effectiveness of Hamas may have been reduced, but it hasn't been removed either as an entity or as an ideology, or which they have. And as Charles said earlier, slightly earlier, there are 50 hostages or so still to be returned. So, you know, and the possibility that Hamas, not having been completely removed, still have the potential to, you know, to re-engage and send missiles again. So what peace has there been? You know, there may have been a sort of de-escalation in the actual amount of munitions being used or the threat, but it's not peace. So I don't see how we're going to be nominated for a peace prize when there's no actual peace.
And the other thing I suppose we're looking at is the fact that this one drags on. We seem to be seeing this sort of spike of a scattergun approach to almost all the policies that President Trump puts. I mean, a month ago, he was talking of deploying Marines to the streets of Los Angeles. That seems to have backed off and gone away.
National Guard,
yeah. There were Marines, 600 Marines standing by. Then we have all the sort of the situation with when the Ukraine is front and centre, and then that goes away. And 2 weeks ago, we had the bunker buster bombs that were being deployed against wiping back the Iranian nuclear program, even though the Iranian authorities or the International Atomic Energy Commission said that they hadn't seen any spikes in any sort of radiation stuff. The disclosure that actually you could put most of the Iran stuff in the back of 12 cars and drive it in different directions, which it turns out we've done.
Trump virtually told them that was going to happen, so they had time to move the nuclear stuff out from the bunkers before the bombs hit.
Yeah.
And the other problem with Hamas is funded by Iran. How's Iran feeling at the moment? They must feel humiliated what happened to them, so they're not hardly going to cut back funding to Hamas under the current climate.
But they're still in power. And this whole thing about them saying with calls from Trump and Netanyahu for regime change and saying get out of Tehran, which is one thing that Trump said, and then nothing happens. And you just think if you were pro-democracy sitting in Tehran and you decided to rise up, then you'd suddenly find yourself in a very sticky wicket, to put it mildly.
That would be a very courageous thing to do.
Exactly. Yeah. That was basically, again, you know, it seems to be they go, right, now we're going to go full on for your regime change. Oh, that hasn't worked in 24 hours. Okay, let's look at that bright, shiny thing over there. And, you know,
well, how well have regime changes gone down in history?
I mean, apart from Chile in 73, when they look what happened there when they got rid of Allende and bought Pinochet into power. And of course the US and the UK and the US who put the Shah in there ran in the first place. So
interesting indeed. Qatar, France, Hamas. Thank you very much for that.
Coming in from Richard, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Tim, you're looking pensive.
Yes, I was just thinking that, what do we learn from history apart from the fact that we don't learn anything from history sort of thing? But that I don't see how any sort of victory can be sort of acclaimed if all that one has done is to damage some infrastructure. I mean, 60 metres underground with a tremendous number of centrifuges, surely just whacking that is not, so even if they did get through 60 metres of concrete, it's not going to change, and I think it was given by the foreign minister of Iran that it's not going to stop them. They just start again. And a lot of these things, I mean, if it's Hamas, for example, you can even destroy personnel to a man and still... an organisation might see fit to continue. It's a much more difficult thing than to actually achieve a victory. It's a hearts and minds thing. It's not about dropping bombs. Never has been.
Yeah, but, you know, bombs, if you get to go there and say,
you know, we've done more damage and we basically bombed them back into the Stone Age and that. But you're not dealing with a material thing here. You're dealing with, you know, what's in people's minds. That box has already been opened. So unless you're going to systematically wipe out every scientist,
that's simply marketing, basically claiming to have done something that doesn't fit with reality.
9527 8 4000. If there's anybody out there, we need to hear from you today. 9527 8 4000. Quick break and then more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
9527 8 4000. And that is the phone number. Or you're listening online, please drop me a WhatsApp to the following numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Move on, shall we, from Nobel Peace Prizes and whatever else that might be. And I said breaking news that Norman Tebbit, the former Tory minister who served in Margaret Thatcher's government, has passed away. The age 94. Yeah, sorry. I was just thinking the 80s there. You see, that's part of the thing. This situation with should we talk about this whole situation with Macron and small boats again and one in, one out? Can you just imagine somebody with a large clicker? What are you doing, in, you know, in a club, coming in or out? I mean, what got me was the Mail this morning, yeah? Because the Mail's headline, or the Mail's screaming front page, apart from mushroom murder, which is something that's happening in Australia, and we're the best will in the world.
Yeah.
And to have a six-page in-depth thing about why you shouldn't have the beef Wellington is Terry Pratchett, author of Discworld, my famous saying of his is all fungi are edible, but some fungi are only edible once. So let that be a warning to you all. Stop, read the Daily Fail. Okay, fine. Hand back, it says, the Daily Mail says, flipping heck. Hands back are £771 million, and that's in red. Mr. Macron, si vous plaît. That, to me, sort of, is the worst sort of total headline. It's that. So, little Ingler, bonjour, mange tout, Rodney.
Plain to its readers.
Is it? Yeah, really. I mean, really, just... you know, we've given the French a fortune whilst their police did nothing to stop channel migrants. Now, anybody knows that the small boats aren't exactly... We're not being hit with a tidal wave of migrants. See what I did there, coming over La Manche, as they would say. So, do you think, you know, is this just frog bashing, Tim?
No, I think, if the question arises, which it obviously has, if you really think about it, it's not about sort of the actual numbers. It's about the disincentivizing of those who might choose to get in the little boats. I mean, if they knew...
Well, you said little boats there. Little boats.
Yes, the little boats, and not big enough for those. That's a very dangerous piece of sea. Anyway, if they do arrive, they need a certain knowledge that they're going to be sent straight back. That's a disincentive. And that's what whoever has fielded this question in the UK has decided should remain as a good policy. That yes, we will accept people who justifiably seek asylum or are skilled enough to want to emigrate. But those who do it the other way will be sent straight back. And so that should, in effect, reduce the numbers. But it's pussyfooting. I mean, it's weakness in the general sense, because you could go Australian on it and say, well, sorry, we're not accepting anybody. Just bugger off. I mean, just go away.
Just go away.
Don't come here, mate.
The language on this show.
I know, it's going down, absolutely. What are your thoughts on the situation there?
I think it's quite complicated. First of all, the Daily Mail, obviously, rabble rousing.
And, good sports pages though. I do read the sport in the Mail.
Oh, do you?
And then I tut the front page. I do more than tut.
But first of all, the money going to the French police, there's only a limited things they can do under their own laws. So easy to take a photograph of the police watching a boat take off with full of migrants.
Yeah.
And then going back to Tim's point, a lot of those migrants may well be justified asylum seekers. In fact, most of them come from countries with severe war-torn economic political problems, but it takes so long to process it that they resort to small boats, which is, as we all know, is a fairly dangerous pursuit to do, and things can go wrong. But they're still willing to do it. It is interesting to me. That means it's not just a casual, oh, let's jump on a boat and go to Britain today kind of attitude. It's all planned in advance, and they know the risks and they're still willing to take them. So there's we need to be more thinking around why are they doing it in the first place. A lot of them, it's because they've got relatives in England, or mainly in England, less so in Scotland or Wales.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why they're going there and not Germany or France, etc. But Germany and France still take more migrants into their countries than the UK do, but without nearly as much fuss.
952-78-4000. This coming in from Richard, who was saying, wrong. This will now encourage migrants to hurry up before the new rules come into play. So expect an increased influx. And the money the French have received is Trump change. No, thank you for saying the Nobel Peace Prize odds. Thank you, Richard. We've got Yulia Navalnaya. She's evens. Tonito, as he refers to President Trump, 17-2. Antonio Guterres, of course, 9-1. He's a manager of Ecuador. He's not the manager of Ecuador. He is the United Nations Director General or whatever. So
Secretary General. Yeah.
952-78-4000, the phone number on that one. So, yes, Starmer is to discuss the channel crossings with President Macron while he is over looking at those headlines as well. If you want to get involved with this morning's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And let's go live to the lines and see what's going on. I think the phones just went off, so let's just see. It's probably telling us. Oh, somebody telling us we're not on air. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, caller. Yeah, and I can't hear anything either. So as my Welsh grandmother used to say, and there he was gone. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's John in Mia.
Hi, John.
Just started exercise the lines and he's recording in. I just wonder, with the French, I mean, who in their right mind thinks that the French should take them back? For example, if all these boat people arriving in England got in little boats and went off to, say, Iceland, would England want to stop them? I mean, it just seems crazy. If France stopped them, it just means they are acquiring more, brackets, illegal immigrants in France.
So you just say over, you know, it's a bit like air traffic control, right? Yours, and you know they're out of our areas. You can deal with them there.
I mean, to some extent, you think they'd provide boats and sort of give them a push off from the shore because they're getting rid of them. And for us to sort of pay them, I mean, I just don't understand the logic of it. It doesn't make any sense. I say, if you don't want people, I mean, the secret is that there should be some facility where all these people can make an application, maybe in their home country or an adjoining country, and then be accepted or refused. If they're refused and then they appear on the beach, they are illegal and can be thrown out.
Yeah.
But as I understand it from Stephen Ritson, most of these people are not illegal because they have the right to arrive. And as long as they ask for asylum more or less immediately, that's within the law. So I'm not sure we can stop them at all, unless, I say, they get sent, and also they need to be sent back to their own countries. They can't be sent back to France.
Yeah, but the problem with that, isn't it, of course, is the fact that if they're coming from Syria and stuff, I mean, you can't really make an application from a war-torn country, and a lot of documentation has been lost or left or whatever.
Yeah. Well, then the logic of that is we've got to put up with it.
Indeed. Thank you very much for calling. And if you're just testing out our phone lines, too, good to have you with us. 952-784-4000. So there you are. You can actually hit this one in from Claudia and Necha. The Nobel Peace Prize is an international award recognizing outstanding contributions to peace, disarmament, and international cooperation. It is one of the five Nobel Prizes established by Alfred Nobel's will. Aiming to reward individuals or organizations that have done the most or the best work for fraternity between nations, for the abolition of or reduction of standing armies, and for the holding and promoting of peace congresses. That's according to the United Nations. And then she's written, Trump does not qualify for any of the above. And so that's from Claudia in Nerka. 952-784-4000 is the phone number, of course, if you want to get your viewpoint across. It can be national, international, local, whatever you wish it to be. The point that people should make, that John was making, the fact that people should be, they should apply from their own countries. It's very difficult to do that if you're fleeing a war-torn country, or that there are abuses, etc.
Not only that, when you're fleeing a war-torn country, it's dangerous to carry a passport or ID, so you have to dump it, which means then when you get to where are you going to, you don't get any proof of identity, which makes everything very difficult. Going back to the Nobel Peace Prize, Trump is not standing down or cutting down standing armies. He's forcing his NATO partners to increase their spending massively, which is not exactly a huge bonus point for getting a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes, indeed. 952-784-4000. Thank you indeed. You sent me through a picture, by the way, of Wandsworth Park, particularly splendid at the moment. If you want to get your viewpoint across on that. How can Trump be awarded Peace Prize when he bombed Iran in the last month, which is behind people being removed from Gaza? Although, hang on. How can Trump be awarded a peace prize when he bombed Iran in the last month, is behind people being removed from Gaza, and although being disappointed by Putin, refuses to put further sanctions in place? Being put forward by Netanyahu seems like a rogue being nominated by another rogue. At least John Hume and the leader of the Ulster Unionists deserved it. It is a sort of normality has returned to Northern Ireland. That's from Morris from Belfast. The only reason that Donny wants it is because Obakarama won it. Okay, so that's it. He's using it as a personal thing. As I said before, if you want to get involved, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
952. I said before, if you're wondering what's happening today, well, hey, you're not the only one. But looking in terms of programming on TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain, following me is Stephen Ritson. Following Stephen Ritson will be Selena McKenzie, of course, on her show today. She speaks to Lynn Olsen, who talks about the Sisterhood of Raisenbruck, how an intrepid band of French women resisted the Nazi in Hitler's all-female concentration camp. Meanwhile, following that, which promises to be interesting, Glynis McNichol, I'm mostly here to enjoy myself, which is basically, that should be actually the title of our biography, autobiographies. Woman's Pursuit of Pleasure in Paris. Sorry, Tim.
Oh.
Indeed. Ooh la la, indeed.
Ideal afternoon program.
Exactly, I think so. Blimey, from Ravensbrook to the streets of Barry. She's August 2021, where
This is rather good, actually. When the City of Lights was still empty of tourists and a thirst for long overdue pleasure gripped those who wandered its streets. Oh. Tim. after New York City empty out in March 2020, Glynis McNichol, age 46, unmarried with no children, spent 16 months alone in her tiny Manhattan apartment. The isolation was partly a year later when she was allowed from Manhattan. She did what most Americans would probably do, and she hit it. She ran off she ran off to Paris to look after a friend's apartment, described as weeks in Paris are filled with friendship, food, and sex. So there you go. That's looking forward to that one. What are your thoughts on that, Tim? Okay.
Well, très jolie, I'm sure she is, and it's très élégante when she was out and about.
Yes, très désirée when she's not right. Okay.
Yeah, yes. And plenty of.
Derriere. Meanwhile, thank you. Meanwhile, oh dear me, Hannah's show. The last three years. Oh God, no. Oh no. Oh please not. It's only 7 minutes to 11 o'clock. We've already got Marlon Brando in the butter. Right. John Robb is Hannah's first guest. He's talking about British biggest band. That's Live Forever, the rise, fall and resurrection of Oasis. Helen Percy joins Hannah at 5:10. She'll be taking Cold Comfort Farm with bells on Skirly Craig the Shepherd, her dogs the Hill and the Hare, and finally Alan Tyler, How to Never Have a Hit, the Confessions of an Unsuccessful Singer-Songwriter. So that is on Hannah's show before Harrod Brereton takes over with Spain Today, and then this show is repeated at 7 o'clock. Meanwhile, going back to our main bits and pieces, this is Daily Mail confirms the previous Conservative government wasted £771 million. This is from Paul. Good morning, Paul. £771 million, and then pivots to blame the French for deflection. Who else remembers the Daily Mail cheerleading Brexit, which ended the Dublin Agreement? P.S. I'm still waiting for my tariff letter from Donald. So, yeah, Daily Mail confirming the previous Conservative government wasted £771 million and then pivots to blame the French for deflection. Who else remembers the Daily Mail cheerleading Brexit, which ended the Dublin Agreement? 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Just looking at some of the other bits and pieces that are coming in. On through the wires this morning, 952-78-4000, of course, is the phone number. Just give you those numbers again.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Viewpoint.
The truth is that the UK, particularly the small set of islands that we are, has been under a great deal of pressure in terms of numbers.
Live, lively and often controversial.
Presented by Giles Brown.
The EU is the best market for the UK, so we have to have some form of rapprochement. But as Trump famously said to Zelensky, we don't have many cards to play. We really don't.
Join me, Giles Brown, from 10 o'clock every Tuesday and get your viewpoint across.
And the more we foster wars, the more immigration we will have, because why do people move? Because they don't feel safe where they are.
The Remix, a recap of the best interviews of the week.
I always find that people's purpose is to make money, just money and fame.
I didn't want to have to leave that just so that I could be out as a lesbian, or so that I could with people who understand that women should be allowed to drive if they want to.
The philosophical question is usually, do we have free will or not? I would rather say, yes, of course we do, in the sense that we have some capacity for behavioral control, but it's constrained by things.
The Remix, a recap of the best interviews of the week. Tune in Saturdays and Sundays from 2 p.m. on TRE.
952 784 1000. Just looking at the news, they're saying there's going to be in the UK, it's been announced there's going to be a general siren that goes off on everybody's phone in the UK. And I was just remarking, were you not in the country when everybody's phones went off in Andalusia?
Yeah,
I
can't remember mine going off.
Sorry, is that a Celtic war cry?
Really? That's extraordinary.
You just put me on live on the mic, haven't you?
If we're casting Braveheart the musical, or we get it as a radio play, you're in. No, when after the shocking floods in Valencia, Tim,
yeah,
it was decided that because there
whether mine went off or not.
Probably, no, you probably didn't hear it, but you know you sleep very silently. But it was decided that the Andalusia would text everybody's. Yeah, the Horlicks had kicked in. And so it's
a good thing.
His night nurse had kicked in. That was the thing. Yeah,
and might have saved those poor Texans. maybe.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, there is another careful Pescado, as I said. But they did the Andalusia. Well, the hunted Andalusia had a warning to go off on the people's phones, and it went off at 11:45 and scared the living watsits out of everybody. I was just bedding down for my night with copy of the Financial Times and checking my shares. talking about I know we briefly mentioned that in passing about Texas, but there has been some criticism that the weather forecast department has been cut down because of recent sweeping cuts and for efficiency.
It's a Democratic conspiracy theory, said Trump spokesman this morning.
Really? We might come on to see what's happened between Elon and Donald after, because he's setting up his own new political party. And not only that, but it seems that Jeremy Corbyn may be involved in another new party. So there's a lot of parties springing up everywhere. So we might look at that after
Jeremy Corbyn won't get anywhere.
Corbyn, right? I thought it was Colgan.
No.
Jeremy Corbyn.
So Jeremy Clarkson probably have more chances.
Jeremy Clarkson.
But yes, nice to morning to the Baroness of Brighton. Good morning, Elizabeth, who says, hi, if it's a war-torn country, you're fleeing, you're not an immigrant, you are a refugee. There you go. Thank you very much. There's good sense there from Brighton. 952-784-1000 being the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email.
And if you're a refugee, you should take shelter, refuge, if you like, in the first country that you come to, which is safe.
Indeed. There you go, Tim. That's
under international law, though, that you can choose which country you want to go to.
Yes, right then. Going to the end of the first. I was going to say something flippant.
Otherwise, Greece would get everybody.
Well, Greece did get everybody, didn't it? That was half the thing. Yeah. We come to the end of the first half of Viewpoint, national international news, and then back for the second half. See you after the news.
Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Live on TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain. Sorry, Tim and I have a conversation there off air. Joined in the studio by Dr. Joe Hengen and Timothy Stafford, talking about post office scandal inquiries. The inquiry is set to publish the final part of the final report. You're just saying must be quite a shock for these. I mean, I've interviewed one of the gentlemen behind who bought the case, which of course was the award, it was TV series, wasn't it?
Yeah, ITV one.
Investigating Mr. Jones, or
I can't remember the name.
Drop me a line or an email on the following numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook.
Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Mr. Bates versus the Post Office with Toby Jones. That's why I was getting it all wrong. But if you want to know what the latest coming out of that is, that the redress process for Post Office Horizon victims could go on for years. To be published, the first tranche of the final tranche of the first report is to be published. More than 900 sub-postmasters wrongfully prosecuted between 1999 and 2015, described as the worst miscarriage of justice in British legal history. Well, I'm sure the Guildford Four of Birmingham Six might have a few things to say about that. It seems to have had a horrendous effect. Some of these post office sub-postmasters and mistresses taking their lives, of course. Very, very sad. Very, very sad indeed. And many of the various compensation schemes criticised by victims as unfair and difficult to navigate. So Wynne Williams, who's the chairman of the First Probe, who's since resigned, described it as a patchwork quilt of compensation schemes with some holes in it. This whole scandal and the point of redress may seem to drag on for years and years, and seems to be a case of computer just saying no. Any thoughts on this, Tim?
Yes, well, this has been a very long time. I mean, 20 years or so. And imagine yourself to be completely as pure as the driven snow and never having transgressed in any way, and suddenly to be sort of taken into court, falsely accused and falsely prosecuted and subsequently convicted of something which one most certainly did not do. I mean, there's psychological damage among your family, friends, yourself and those who ever knew you is immense. And one thing that strikes me about all of these reports and inquiries is that if you have... let's give an example. Let's say you were entitled to disability benefits, and the government suddenly decided that the man with a dodgy knee is not entitled to anything. The next day, his entitlement would come into effect. I mean, really fast. If you pay, say, an organisation and they owe you a refund, the refund will take 10 times as long to come back as the payment went took to go out. It's the tremendous sort of delay and unapologetic bureaucracy and general unpleasantness that seems to go unpunished. And these people have caused a lot of harm. The people who set up this program used it and prosecuted by the use of it too need to be brought to task. For the high levels of incompetence, but worse, they should be damaged. They should be punished. Damages should be extracted from them.
Jerry, it must be a horrible feeling of helplessness when you know you haven't done something wrong and you may be accused of it, you're in court. And not only the effect on you and your family, but a lot of these people, when I watched the Mr. Bates programme, their community turned against them and they became isolated. All their old friends thought they were guilty as well. So until all this came through, Mr. Bates started it all. It's just such a horrible thing to think about, but... generally, bureaucracy will always try to look after itself when something's gone wrong, and that's what drags these things out. The only kind of situation where that doesn't actually happen are airline pilots. When there's a problem going wrong with the plane, they can report that anonymously without invoking backlash within
the whistleblowing,
type thing. People tend to cover up to protect themselves because There are politicians who, senior politicians who are at risk. I've seen them on TV explaining it had nothing to do with me, Gov, you know, etc. Well, I had to do with somebody.
this is again, I mean, the Mr. Bates versus the post office, which is seen as the game changer, because suddenly if that's on national TV, suddenly the government acts, the previous government acts like literally the next day. But there are certain things that, we grew up with and we're used to, and one of the local pub, and especially the sub post office, those shops that had everything in from. And I know that if you've been watching certain TVs this morning, there's people picking up sweets from a in a counter shop, which is, I don't think,
buy your comics there and
comics and pint of milk and get your sweets and I don't think they still did that, but they're apparently, according to what's been on the Sky News this morning, there seems to be somebody getting sort of chocolate dibs or whatever, almost hundreds of thousands of mint imperials in a bag. But this was seen as a service, and sub post offices were part of the fabric, and so these were done by decent people who just wanted to had a sideline here, and they were not, they were certainly weren't the sort who were going to be doing multi-million pound swindles. That's, that is the domain of the awarding of PPE contracts, for example. So therefore, not a lot of postmasters, mistresses and masters bought their own private yachts, for example, off the proceeds. So, naming no names. The shock that went through these and the absolute turmoil it caused is something to perhaps, I think, panel, that we should reflect on.
Yes, and there's a sort of self-protection that the governments, bureaucracies have, administrations of these things, in this case the post office and its software developers. And one can get very angry. It's easy to get angry at institutions or organisations, but because we see them being maligned somewhere. But in this case, they genuinely are, and they need to be made to actually suffer something, a consequence, rather than just simply rolling along with this sort of inquiry or report, that's a series of reports that are coming out. Individuals need to be brought to task. Very seldom the case, of course.
And again, using that whole thing about, computer says no, it was seen that this, the software is infallible. It can't possibly be our software. It must be your problem as well.
Yeah.
There's a whole, wide-scale passing of the buck that we see. It is perhaps a tale of British functionarios rather than
it was more than that. I think they thought, software could be at fault, but we're not telling anyone because we'll be in trouble. Let them take the blame for it. And so there was certainly some element of cover-up. Some people knew there was something wrong, and outside investigators alleged that software wasn't working properly, but that was ignored or dismissed.
This has been just a sort of psychological damage as in this case, but this has been this sort of error, series of errors has been brought to bear in places like blood donation, where people have died as a consequence of being given blood, which is
hepatitis not, infected,
which is infected, and
from American prisons,
and the inquiries for those are still going on from the most serious of cases, and on it goes. People trying to cover their own backs.
But compare that with France, where the same thing happened, but the doctors and public health who were responsible for that all got jailed, and nothing's happened in Britain.
Yep.
952-784-4000 to the WhatsApps we go, to the Facebook page, which is Talk Radio Official. This coming in saying what I don't understand about the post office shambles is how come nobody noticed all this money going missing before the computers coming in. Just a quick comparison between known takings, i.e. previous banking, and supposed takings, i.e. supposed takings after computers, would have shown what was going on. post office previously had numerous head office stockings balances. Okay. Looking at this coming in from Richard, it's worse than this. More faulty post office accounting software has been uncovered in what some are calling a second post office scandal, Capture, which is the software prior to Horizon.
Yeah, I was going to say, before 99, it was going on before then.
The same with Echo Plus, whatever. I'm not sure what Echo Plus is, but thank you for that. 952-784-1000. If you want to get your, viewpoint across to on this morning's show, it can be something national, international, or local. If you want to get involved with the show,
to contact TRE, please call 952-784-1000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the numbers to which if you want to get involved with the show. Time just coming. We've got about 40 minutes of the show left.
Hello, this is Kit Hogg inviting you to join me, En Camino, Saturday mornings at 11 on a journey to unexpected places. From the first time challenge of an army parade ground in Germany.
It was the first day of pre-deployment training to go to war in Iraq. And I was on the parade square and with 50 faces looking at me for inspiration and sort of motivation. And so it was a steep learning curve.
To the endeavor of coaxing conversation from a speechless monk.
Then going through the Himalayas and the desert, meeting a sort of a Buddhist monk who'd been silent for 12 years.
Wherever the Camino takes us, unlike the monk, we're seldom lost for words. As your Saturday morning matures into the weekend, do join me, Kit Hogg, En Camino, 11 a.m. on a trip to an indeterminate destination.
If your new home is this sunny and cheerful country, if you want to learn and enjoy Spanish customs and culture, if you want to get informed and be part of the Spanish community, join me, Howard Brereton, on Spain Today. Weekdays from 6 p.m. here on Talk Radio Europe.
Indeed, Howard Brereton, live from 6 until 7 every day, and En Camino from Kit Hogg, which is every Saturday from 11 till 12, both programmes. Well worth a listen. You should be listening to them anyway if you weren't before. If you're not, where have you been? 952-784-1000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio, is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio for Official. You can, you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. I'm just saying that the daughters of a woman who was convicted in the post office scandal, she was on Sky, saying the daughter of this said she suffered dark thoughts after her mother was accused of stealing. Also, starting today, is the report. I think it's the first part of the report into the public inquiry into the killings at Southport, of course, and inquiries into the murders of three girls at a Taylor Swift-themed class in July last year. That's beginning today. So that's going to be dominating your newspapers, I think, tomorrow. Moving on from that, we've got some elections coming up in Wales over the next couple of weeks, and it's going to bring into sharp focus how the government is doing in the UK, but also it is looking at the gains that are expected to be made by reform in Wales. Because a new, we had this a poll a couple of weeks ago pointing to a hung parliament in the next election with Farage's Reform UK winning the most seats. There was, of course, Reform did very well indeed at the council elections as well, taking Staffordshire amongst other places. And then we had, the Reform UK chairman who quit. And then return to the party as well. So, this is going to be very interesting to see where where reform goes. Any thoughts on this in Wales? Jerry, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't know much about Wales, but...
reform,
I mean, it seems to be doing remarkably well in England. It was Boris Johnson said the best thing to do about reform is not talk about them. So let's talk about them, eh? My favourite description of reform was Dominic Cummings. He said it's one man and an iPhone. Yeah, like basically that. Like I have yet to see if it's anything other than a protest vote when people are voting for reform. I don't get it. I don't see people of talent or people of experience and wisdom. A lot of noisy people. They've got attracted people from other parties who were thrown out for racist comments, etc. They seem to be attracting all kinds of wrong people from my point of view. Maybe I just picked up the wrong end of the stick. Tim?
No, I completely agree with that. I think, you're not seeing other individuals or party members of reform who, you know, may at some later point come into positions of actual power, who are being wheeled on into the media to state rational, reasonable, sensible cases. You're not seeing a team. You are seeing a manner of a protest which has been going on in Farage's sense for a long time, standing up in European Parliament and so on. And is he a force for good? I mean, only in as much as he could stop what many people believe to be a hugely damaging situation regarding immigration.
Well, I mean, the situation here at the moment, I mean, looking at some of the and I had that all to hand and it's now just disappeared off my bleeding screen. Wouldn't you love it? Apparently in Wales the leader, the Welsh leader, is saying, hang on, I'm just going to put, I had this to hand and it's disappeared on me. Here we go. So the First Minister of Wales admits Labour's taking the threat from reform very seriously ahead of elections next year. There's a real possibility of Nigel Farage's party could become the largest in the Welsh Parliament. Sky News, a poll they commissioned, said 28% of people would back reform if elections were called tomorrow. Labour falling to third behind Plaid Cymru, so which is obviously the Welsh. I mean, is it the fact that they It's. He said it's a protest vote, Jerry. I mean, do you think it's
more than that as well? Sorry. I mean, Nigel Farage is kind of Trump-lite. Trump works by getting people who feel left out by the elite and by the leaders, etc., and the successful people in society, and they've been left behind and left out. And Trump attracts them. He speaks for them. And they feel he belongs to him. The people who love Trump are actually part of a cult group of people like me who were left behind, and Trump is making it all better for us. And Farage is doing the same thing. He's talking about immigrants. He denies climate change. I mean, anybody who denies climate change, that tells you everything right away. Like, you got to just make it up as it goes along and appealing to people so he can get a vote. He didn't care what the facts are or the truth. And he didn't want to deal with anything difficult.
956-84000, morning caller, you're live on Terry. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Jason. How are you?
Good morning,
are you
right? Jason. How are you, my friend?
Okay. I'm afraid I'm back on my one-trick pony. I wanted to discuss the Amazon rainforest, if I can do that.
Well, I mean, what you wanted to, what particular, what's happened, Jason, that wants you to...
Well, the problem is that it's lost more than 10 million football fields of canopy forest just in the last decade. So that's been cut down, while I'm speaking to you now, at one football pitch a minute. And it's not sustainable. So the Amazon, I don't know if people realise, it's responsible for one-fifth of the world's freshwater supply, rivers and tributaries. And also, it also massive carbon capture on the planet, and also a significant portion of the Earth's oxygen supply, which is 20% of air, and it's about 30% all trees, plants, forests in the world, and the big one is the sea, which we're also damaging. That's 70% of the biosphere. And what I'm concerned about is we're living in a world that's so divided and so much in conflict that we're never going to have this epiphanal moment and work together to solve what is becoming a major, major problem in real time. And I'm concerned that we're going to simply run out of time, because the way we're going, the tipping point now is not very far ahead. And I can't see how the world is suddenly going to unite to address this problem. And the extremes in climate that you're seeing, the fires, etc., things like this, will at some point become beyond our financial means, capability to combat. But also then, soon after, logistically, it will become impossible to keep control of. So when I say that we lose control of it, it becomes beyond our means to put the genie back in the bottle. And now, I wonder, I was listening, is it Anna Kaplinsky, your newest star on the radio station?
Anna Glowinski, yes, Anna Glowinski.
Anna, if you're listening, I really respect and I admire the way that you are, the way you speak with humanity. You speak with a social conscience. The questions you ask are deep, searching questions that maybe a normal person would ask. They're not always the obvious ones. And I wonder if you would pick up on this subject, and you and Selena maybe do more on this station, just to highlight the environmental issues, so it's not just boring Jason saying the same things again, because I'm concerned above all the things we speak about, that if we do not get a handle on this environmental situation, the ice caps and shelves are melting much quicker now than the computer models predicted. And maybe if you got some experts on, it might make people think more than me just speaking, that would confirm that what I'm saying is something really serious. Because the problem is that all the things that we tend to worry about in our lives and discuss in current affairs will not affect us as much as this looming catastrophe that faces all of humanity and civilization.
Right, Jason, so, we just lost you a bit there. I think it was a wind current coming in there.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, Giles.
Sorry, Jason, good to hear from you as well. There you go. Jason calling in with his theories or his fears about the...
Somebody from Reform to come on and address Jason's fears and say...
What reform? Reform's view on the Amazon.
Reform would say we're not spending any money on climate change.
If you told a member of Reform that they were losing 11 football pitches a day in the Amazon, he would say, I didn't know they were so keen on football.
They might say, where's the Amazon? That's not here. Don't care about the Amazon.
They've got lost my package. I'm never speaking to them again. 9526. No, but seriously, you know, all joking aside, haha. It is an issue I remember writing articles about the Amazon and the rainforest for a magazine that we used to work with called the European Times, and that was 1990. Remember Jacques Delors and all that?
Yeah.
Sorry.
A favourite of the Daily Mail.
Yes, up yours, the laws. Yes. And Tim just had a mild recompense. So,
Delors, a gift to headline makers.
Yes, indeed, with Jacques Delors. But you know, he was part of the Single Europe. He was the architect of the Single Europe. And I remember writing about the Amazon. That, you know, we've seen the threats to them, and of course, those are the days. Probably that if, you know, Jason's saying that they've lost a fifth of the Amazon, whatever he's saying, so I mean, we were worrying about it then. And despite repeated, you know, we are 2 minutes to midnight and we are not, you know, we are kept passing point. There's been Kyoto, there's been Paris, all sorts of agreements, and, you know, nothing seems to get done. And I think Jason is right to have the concerns about, as he does. But unfortunately, you know, in a world where you have populist leaders in Brazil as well who are wanting to feed their populations, to increase in, you know, investment, etc., they see it as the resource that they should be able to exploit, and therefore we should... you know, governments like ourselves or like the G7, you know, come in and tell them what's leading well do.
Historically, you have to say he's got a point. I mean, Spain, 37% of Spain is covered with forest trees. Yeah, the average of Europe is in the 30%. In England, it's 10%. They've cleared all the land for farming, etc., like that, houses. So, like, that's what Brazil are doing. But it's not a good idea for Brazil to do it. But in the bigger picture, scientifically, the oceans are actually more important than the land, and we need to do more about the oceans and what's happening there, because that's the main source of
sucking up the carbon dioxide that we're producing, that the Exxon scientists told Exxon in the 1970s, you're going to cause a global warming if you keep selling petrol like this.
Yeah.
So they invented the marketing campaign and said climate change has always been with us and it's a natural phenomenon and nothing to do with us, Gov.
And then they underlined it by crashing the Exxon Valdez into, yeah, into, yeah, the, what's it,
well, okay, okay. That's slightly a different...
Exclamation a different, point that
one. I don't think that was to do with climate change, yeah.
Yes, I was talking to an oil company executive not long ago who was berating those who have sort of extreme views on climate change because of the adjustments that they have to make, where the actual balance of what the cost of the economy is in creating, let's say, batteries for electrical engines and so on, is not taken into consideration. And that, yes, if you look at the cause, my son was down on the Attenborough when it's first on its first journey, doing some scientific work with with the ice cores that they draw up. And of course, what we do know is that global warming and global cooling has been something that's all through the the journey of Earth. What level of extreme we're at the moment, or how much is in our hands, is another matter altogether. In other words, the jury's out. And also, you get the other issue of countries such as, let us say, for the sake of argument, China, who might be producing a great deal more pollution than we do currently in Europe, in per capita, whatever. And continue to do so while we gallantly try very hard to set the example by reducing our emissions. All of those things make life very complicated for climate change, those who are terribly worried. And the underlying issue of pollution is most assuredly there. And you only have to look at plastics to know that. How idiotic it was for reasons of expense that come with large food companies used plastics to such an extent because it's the cheapest way for them to contain their foods. And that has got to stop. I mean, it's got to be and it is stopping, but it's got to stop. We've got to have a biodegradable type of plastic that serves the same purpose but goes away. I mean, it doesn't make any sense otherwise. About emissions, I mean, look at what's happened to Tesla. You know, they've been shot down in various ways when they tried very hard to bring about a change in motor vehicle manufacture and so on. And there's a problem there. You can't have big trucks with electric engines. To charge up trucks would, even for a small trucking company, would require enough electricity to run really quite large towns.
Hydrogen,
good answer. And that's the way to go. All very complex, and there's no need to sit in the middle of the road and protest about it when other more serious outfits are on the case.
Yeah, China's getting a bit of a bad name here. I can go back to history lessons. I remember when I was in school, I think we collected money for Chinese children who were starving or something like that. And now look at China. Yes, it's producing a lot of coal. It still has a lot of coal and coal power stations, yeah, etc. But it's also the biggest, fastest growing green economy in the globe. China is much bigger than Europe in terms of population. And I read an interesting article the other day about most of the cars now in China, the ordinary people drive, are electric. And I talked to a taxi driver, he said, I can't afford petrol, diesel, only rich people can afford that in China now. Most people are driving. And look at the expansion of cars like BYD and etc. and people who own MG into the export market, and no wonder Trump's worried and putting tariffs on them, because Europe and the US are so far behind in developing electric cars, green technology.
Talking electric cars, though, I mean, you're looking at this is apropos of nothing, but the Tesla shares slumped yet again, 7% down this morning.
Yeah,
after Elon Musk decided that he was going to form his own political party against
against Trump. I mean, yeah, you've rolled your eyes, Tim. I mean, talk about things that you don't want to be doing, and one of them is taking, because the American political process, I mean, you think of Ross Perot, who's the last biggest American independent, who tried to set up his own party, and he got absolutely nowhere than that. So the Musk, he's going to set up, I don't know, the American party or something.
Yeah, but I'm not quite sure he's going that, because
he can't be president.
He's South African, so he wouldn't be able to become president of the US.
He could hold it in perpetuity for his son X.
Yeah, or like Putin did with
Medley.
I can never get my name around that. Yeah.
Let's go to the WhatsApps, because we're at the last 23 minutes, believe it or not, on this one. WhatsApps. Hi, two things. Jason's correct. This is from Peter. On Farage, his latest is government ministers shouldn't have to be elected. Wasn't that his thing against the EU? Unelected people running things. Okay. Thank you for Paul, I think, who sent me this. Which is, yes, indeed, who's just absolutely brilliant. He sent me a picture of, and I don't know if the panel can even see this, of Sir Anthony Hopkins. Yes, Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Polichella.
Yeah, he's actually in his full Hannibal Lecter on the phone, yeah? And the caption underneath, which he sent to me, and Paul, you're a genius, because he sent, I've passed the Reform UK vetting process. Excellent. That's wonderful. Thank you. That, sir, is genius, and I'm stealing that. But absolutely brilliant. Anyway, Reform UK, backed by money from the fossil fuel industry, hence the anti-environmental policy. Here's anti-net zero Andrew Jenkins endorsing and opening a solar farm in 2017. Or what about Rupert Lowe, who has a solar farm on his own land? Thank you very much. In addition to that, here we go. I wondered where Richard had gone, and here he is, right then. So, MNS chairman tells the UK lawmakers the Castle Donington automated warehouse will be back online imminently. Nice, Farage. Unelected bureaucrats and bustles have been humiliating our Prime Minister, and we don't like it. But Nigel Farage is now calling for unelected cabinet ministers that won't be able to be scrutinised in Parliament. The world doesn't care or to keep up. This, let us not forget, Tricky Dicky. Richard Tice's property company has enthusiastically embraced green technologies despite his public hostility as former UK chair to net zero targets and some of the same initiatives. The businessman who led the populist right-wing party until Farage took over earlier this month was accused of hypocrisy by opponents in Boston and Skegness, where he's running as a general election candidate. Electric car charging points and roof-mounted solar panels are increasingly featuring in refurbishment efforts undertaken by Quidnet Wright Limited, of which Tice is chief executive. The company buys, refurbishes, and leases out properties to businesses. And I doubt that Uncle Nige, Richard's words, not mine, doesn't believe that climate change exists. He just tells his occult fans crap that they want to hear to get their votes, much like Donnie. Otherwise, there's obviously
Mr. Trump.
Not strictly true. The US still have plenty of electric cars. Just the US buyers don't want them, mainly because steel fuel is still relatively cheap. It's around 70 centimos a litre. So those are coming from Richard. Okay. Is that a... Okay, somebody sent me a message, and I can't... Yeah, thank you very much. I'm going to send that to somewhere private, because that's not one for the... It's obviously fan mail or something like that. if you want to get in touch with Giles at tre.radio is perhaps the best way to do that. 952-784-1000. Take a quick break and then more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live. If you want to get involved with this morning's Viewpoint, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-784-1000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
and this coming in. Hi, the blood, read the blood shambles. Blood transfusion services were assured that the USA by, sorry, blood, I'm being attacked by a mosquito. Thank you so much. Read the blood, at least you mentioned blood and I get attacked by a mosquito. Blood transfusion services were assured by the USA that no blood from prisoners or known drug addicts would be sent to the UK. They lied. Again, a case of you'll remember this, of course, Jerry, the blood transfusion scandal.
Yeah, I remember it well. And I used to have to inject haemophiliacs on a regular basis in the hospitals, etc., with this. And at that time, we knew nothing about there was any danger and where it come from. It come from American drug addicts in prisons. That was completely unknown to us. It just came from the blood transfusion service.
Again, this is perhaps we shouldn't be trusting. I know we're going to talk about, you know, don't trust what they tell you, fake news, etc. But it seems that. Sorry, just breaking news that Russia's former transport minister found dead with a gunshot wound.
Yeah. That was yesterday. Yeah.
Was it? Okay, took his own life. He's sacked from the role, apparently. Yeah. Nice. Normally they fall out of windows, but.
So something not quite right about that story.
Really, but I think so. Yeah, I think so. Strange, that's like the one they found in the Bulgarian, they found at the bottom of the Rio Verde with, you know, 5 gunshot wounds, and they said it was suicide. You know,
he was found in his car, shot dead in his car. The Russian transport minister fell
out of a window over Gorky Park. Yeah.
Falling out of a window is a bit suspicious.
Falling out of windows in your car is even more suspicious. Sorry, we shouldn't be laughing about this, but there you go. 956-784-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. Looking at some other main headlines coming in if you want to catch up. Campaigners say that the first documents of the long-awaited report from an inquiry into the Post Office Horizon scandal will be monumental. Hundreds of postmasters were wrongfully prosecuted in what's been described as the worst miscarriage of justice in British legal history. The King will refer to the complex threats facing the UK and France as he delivers a speech to welcome President Emmanuel Macron on his state visit. It's understood the monarch will touch on defence, artificial intelligence, and the climate crisis when he speaks during tonight's state banquet in Windsor. Meanwhile, in other news, the Southport inquiry holds its first hearings at the Town Hall later on today. The families of the 3 schoolgirls who were murdered at a dance workshop are demanding a real change so nothing like it can happen again. Norman Tebbit, who served as a cabinet minister in Margaret Thatcher's government, has died aged 94, a loyal ally of the former Tory Prime Minister. Lord Tebbit backed her agenda, bringing in laws designed to curb union power, and Wales's First Minister has admitted reform posed a very serious threat to Labour. Elections are being held next year. So those are your headlines. And the time is coming up to 15 minutes left of this morning's Viewpoints.
Viewpoints on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Yes, indeed. Into the last 10 minutes, give or take, of this morning's Viewpoint, I'm joined by Dr. Jerry Hagan and Timothy Stafford. Now, just some quick news here. The former Conservative Cabinet Minister and MP David Jones has joined Reform UK. You see, just speaking about that. Jones, who stepped down as Conservative MP ahead of last year's election, said he'd become disillusioned by his old party and that only Reform was demonstrating the determination needed to tackle the country's many problems. The former Welsh Secretary added, that's interesting, that he would not seek elected office for Reform, but would give the party my full support in the elections ahead. He becomes the third former Tory MP to join Nigel Farage's party in the past 2 weeks, following Ross Thompson and Anne-Marie Morris. The Conservative Party has been approached for comment, and they just hissed and backed into a corner. Meanwhile, pretty Patel, that was almost like your, what was the noise you made earlier? Exactly. I didn't know you could summon Dr. Jerry Hagan like that, did you?
Yeah, it's no idea.
For portal. It's a nice fellow.
I wrote the script for Aliens.
You obviously did. Having been turned down for your amateur drummer, for your Exorcist of the Under Fives version. Right then. Meanwhile, there's a thought. things. Exorcist, the musical. Right then, China's CO2, this is coming in from Paul. Thank you, Paul. China's CO2 emissions have been in decline for a whole year now, 6 years ahead of schedule. The official aim was, to cut CO2 peak emissions by 2030 to reduce the carbon neutral by 2060. They added 64% to the world's new renewables energies in 2024. This is at a time when energy demands are exponentially growing. The EU, and now even more so the US, are trailing behind. Thank you for that into the last 9 minutes or so.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Let's go local, shall we? Let's go international. We've done the international stuff and the whole bits and pieces. But I'm just very interested in the fact that you were mentioning this. In fact, both Tim and Jerry were mentioning this before. Gosh, Roger Taylor looks well. Looking at, not the drummer of Queen, by the way, the tennis player, Tim, before you're looking askance at me, that is not Roger Taylor, the drummer from Queen. He's the Wimbledon.
Is that Roger Taylor, the tennis man?
Yes, not the drummer from Queen. That's what we're saying.
No.
No, yes. All right.
He does look well.
Roger Taylor.
No, that's you're thinking of Rod. Anyway, let's move swiftly. Yeah. Let's move swiftly off that, please. 7 minutes to go. Are you having a flashback, Tim?
Yeah, it's a long time ago. Anyway, yeah.
Yes. So, we were just talking about congestion, lack of infrastructure, the basic face that Spain is now full. You know, we always keep people saying, well, Britain's full. Well, Spain, if Britain is full at the cramming to everything, you just have to take a drive down the road to see that actually Spain, you have to look at the roundabout, nay, less than 400 metres from this very studio, this piece of earth from which we do this show, which took you, what, 10 minutes to navigate this morning?
It took me less time to get from San Pedro to the roundabout than it did from the roundabout down to the station, which is about 200 yards.
And you know this thing about, we keep going about, you know, oh, Airbnb and the, you know, tourists go home and this whole situation. But, you know, I drive my good friend Alex, known as Hobson, absolutely mad about this because he always comes over here and he lives behind the Aris Bank. And so he can walk to Marbella. You know, he was down by the Medellin Don Pepe Hotel. And, he's got a very lovely house there, townhouse, and he's by the beach. And so his vision of Marbella is basically walking into Marbella and back again. He doesn't do Benus because we did that in the 80s. And he goes, well, I don't see the problem is. And the fact is, that's very fine if you're... But the actual experience of living in anywhere, and you can be Mallorca, Ibiza, up in the Costa Blanca, etc. But the actual, now the numbers of people coming to Spain, and we had this tourist go home in Barcelona, it's nothing to do, I think, with the fact that we can't get decent, you know, people can't get rents. It doesn't matter. The amount of people now is going to be counterproductive, do we not think, in futures. If it continues at this rate, people will leave their teeming conurbations of London, Berlin, wherever they come from, and find themselves unable to drive, you know, 100 metres down to... And if you're used to be stuck on the N25, to be stuck on the AP7, it's going to say, well, I don't want to come to Marbella. I don't want to come to Southern Spain because it's too full of people. Thoughts, pal?
Yeah, but you'd be stuck on the Costa del Sol with a silly hat and with anticipation of going out into the blazing heat.
A silly hat?
Yeah, because that's what you do. And I don't think that will change. I mean, what does Spain do? Go from 45 million indigenous residential Spaniards to something like 60 or 65 million in the height of summer in terms of a point. Think of the money involved. And it's only for the weather, because with great respect to Spain, there's not a sort of huge sort of cultural draw that one might...
Those were slaving away at the Picasso Museum would beg to differ.
Those lovely people, except for, and so on. So, you know, it is a strictly a weather. But also, we ourselves have come to live on these shores. And so...
We're not back in the UK, basically, some of us.
Well, knowing full well that there are going to be sort of tides of humanity washing across our...
Tides of humanity flopping onto our shores.
And generally... sitting in chiringuitos, and so on. So
there aren't any. Here's another thing: there are no chiringuitos left because they've become shishi beach clubs because they've been bought out.
Oh,
by,
yeah, those.
It's what I call the Dubaification of Marbella. So
yeah,
you basically
it's
could
terrible thump thump bass sounds.
And it's a bit like Jerry falling off his chair in shock, like a
Yeah, and there aren't
places, yet.
There are places where you can go where there aren't very many people, but you don't because.
Well, you want to know where the action is. But when you say that, we used to go to the south of France on holiday in the 80s. It was just like that then. It was like you tried to get into a town and you just give up.
Yeah.
So you'd turn around by train. The trouble with living around here, there's no train station in Marbella. And I mean, talked about it for 100 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, was it Dave Hodgson said this morning, it's the biggest town city in Spain without a train station.
We don't
call Hodgson the thin controller for nothing, you know.
Yeah, and that's
what do you call him for nothing?
Dangerous Dave the turntable's playing.
And the toll roads, I mean, really greedy companies.
Oof, greedy companies, you said.
Greedy companies. Who,
it's a kind of PPA thing. They build it, save the government money with the agreement that for the next 50 years they can take tolls. Yeah. That's how the business model works.
Yeah. 2054, you were saying, wasn't it?
That's what Dave Hodges said this morning.
Dave Hodges, the infrastructure guru.
But he was saying that when he goes up to Alicante now, the tolls are free, but when he goes into France, they're not free. But I went to France a couple of years ago and it was free. Like, so I'm not sure where he went in France.
Probably, and he was trying to get to the wonderful walled city. Is it Cascogne?
Nationalise them.
What? Nationalise France? The French?
The motorway.
Okay. All right, fine.
Or no, he's a socialist. Just at the end of the day,
I'm going
this
socialist.
Comes out.
I'm going socialist on motorways.
You're going, yes.
But a selective socialist.
I like that. I'd vote for Tim. Vote Tim Stafford. Selective.
Yeah, selective.
Party. SSS.
Champagne selective socialist.
Stafford champagne selective socialist.
Let's be selective
indeed. Right then. So, but no, joking apart, I mean, I've got to say, well, Spain is empty. Spain's full. It's empty. 96 people per square. 96 people per square kilometre. Even less if you're standing next to me. Well, Marbella, say no more. 1990, wink, wink. So that's the Welsh and now the Spanish. Thank you very much.
Spain is much bigger than the UK and a smaller population, but its problem's a bit like Scotland. In the middle, there's all these mountains that aren't actually useful for living in. So a bit like Japan as well.
Maybe that's because insults while we're here. In the last
somebody decided to build Madrid in the centre, but if they hadn't actually...
That's why Manchester should be the capital of the UK.
Yeah.
Because it's in the centre, so they used to reach. We're supposed to do that.
That's the centre of England, not the UK.
Okay, centre of England. Okay, well, in which
see,
case...
See.
Yes, okay, all right. Well, in which case, it's got, you know, Edinburgh is way off, and it should be somewhere
too far.
Freeze,
it needs to be Liverpool.
Right, now.
Or Newcastle.
Mention Liverpool.
Yeah, mention Liverpool. Right, then. Almost out of time, thank goodness. It has been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you this morning's viewpoint. Thank you for that. Thank you also to Paul, who just said, that is my... I'm going to use that so much. Hannibal Lecter saying, I've passed the reform UK vetting process. How wonderful. Thank you to my panel for their sterling work today. Thank you to Timothy Stafford. Tim, as always.
It's been a pleasure, Charles.
It has indeed. And revealing an unexpected and hitherto unannounced talent for sound effects, I think, through today. Dr. Hagen, who almost fell off his chair in shock. Yeah.
I didn't get permission for that to go in any promo.
Right, you're going to do a disclaimer for that. Jerry's available for if you want a ringtone, a distinctive ringtone, then I think Dr. Jerry Hagen is your man, basically. Yeah.
Thank you.
Go on.
I'm an expert at doing the Glasgow Gruffalo that thrills my grandchildren. It's actually books. The Gruffalo's one, Gerald de Jarre's another one that's been rewritten in the Glasgow accent. It sounds hilarious. I'll bring it next time.
Please do, in case we have
a boring gap.
Exactly. So there we go. Gerard the Glaswegian.
There's no such thing as the Gruffalo.
Stephen Ritson, thank goodness, is up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.